Welcome to Elite Six Business Networking Think Tank, facilitated by your host, Danny DeHeck, the place where decision makers come together to share their experience, knowledge, and skills.
So welcome along to Elite Six's Think Tank meeting. If you've just joined us, by all means, scroll down to the page and you'll see how to access the room if you don't know how. Hello, Matt. How are you? Looking well. No sound there, but that's okay. Oh, that's right. You're on mute. Don't worry. You're all good.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Wait for the millions to turn up here. Millions. See, they're all coming in droves now. Exit full screen, exit full screen. Just trying to finish off a few little clever things.
Oh, Penny's here. Hi, Penny.
Hello. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good.
Right.
Haven't seen you for a while.
No, we thought you might have got taken away in a big whale.
Big whale. Well, that would make the news, wouldn't it? That does happen.
That really happened.
Hey?
Does that really happened?
Well, someone here got taken out by a whale a few years ago, yeah.
Oh, we're on a boat.
He was trying to save it. It was caught up. It was a humpback. He dived into, he'd saved quite a few, you know, untangle it.
Oh, right.
And it flipped its tail, and that was the last that was ever seen of him.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah, it was awful. It was horrible. His wife was pregnant, and it was just like far out. Yeah.
Well, that's a good story to start the day on.
Okay. Yeah.
Whale tales.
Give us a better one. Yeah, is that a whale, a tale of a whale? Tail whale. Yeah, okay, Mark. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Nice.
So, there's a screen. Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Penny. How are you feeling now?
Oh, good. I kept meaning to text you, sorry, and apologise. I ended up in hospital again that day. So.
Yes, you went looking flash, and my apologies for just dropping by unannounced.
No, it was good to see you, but I just couldn't show the appreciation.
You know, visiting people, Mark, because we bumped into you the other day and popped your bubble.
Yeah.
Shook your hand before you knew to say, oi. David's wearing a suit, sports jackets today. He's trying to look flash.
Yeah. Doing my best, Danny. Got to get myself organised, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. We've got Apple in here today. Apple spent all day yesterday trying to get a furball out of his throat. Yeah. So he's having a better day today than he was the other day. We thought he'd got away with it. Then I think visitors turned up. We had somebody come do a house inspection, and then he barked at them. And I reckon that was the moment that his life got back to normal. Yeah, it was like, I've dislodged it. And we go, we get that. We get it. Yeah, don't eat your furball. That's quite cool. What are we doing for time? 5 minutes. That's good. We've got a good crew there, so it's nice. Thank you very much. All right, so welcome along to our think tank meeting. We'll officially start the meeting, and I'm going to get people to go around and introduce themselves today because I don't think everyone knows everyone here. They might do. We might be close. So, Paul, do you want to?
I think I know everyone. Paul Starling, Canterbury Computers, and we try to make small businesses computing IT as painless as possible and keep them up to date, keep them patched, and keep them backed up.
All right. Exciting. Helen, what do you do?
I'm Helen from Motivee, and I've actually rebranded my business. It's now just Motivee, not Motivee Photography, because I'm now incorporating other things into my business. So, and I shoot portraits, landscapes, sports, and I'm working on doing some workshops too.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Matt James.
Hi, so I'm Matt James. I am a small business navigator, so business coach, business consultant based in Rangiora with my wife, Glenda.
Cool. And does she think you're a good husband?
Yeah, it's a great day today, isn't it?
I know, Danny, and that's questionable sometimes.
Is it? It's always good to ask the third person, isn't it?
I've never heard.
Thanks, Mark. Good save.
Penny.
I'm Penny Betts. I live in Kaikoura, and I own Gecko Gear's clothing store that import from Bali, Thailand, and Nepal, and have another business in the Maldives that we can't do anything with at the moment.
And I heard that terrible disaster. Does that affect the area that you visit in the Maldives?
What happened? I haven't got
that. The oil tanker, is that?
Oh.
Is that, am I right?
That's
Mauritius.
Mauritius.
I'm just saying, I didn't hear about that.
It's about 2,000 K.
Yeah, quite the cheapness. Okay, Jude, save
another one.
Save you, Danny. Give you a shovel to dig yourself out. Absolutely. Jude Sterling, Crunch Accounting Services. We provide bookkeeping, accounting and business advisory services to small to medium-sized businesses throughout Christchurch, Greater Christchurch, South Island, North Island. And we've got some people living in Aussie that we really don't know what we're doing with, but, you know, we just wing it as we go along. What we don't know, we find out.
Yeah, that's a good truth. We read a book about that just recently, and that's exactly what they said to do.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. We had a meeting about that once. David Clarkson, what are you eating for breakfast?
Having my late muesli, thank you very much, Daddy. No, David Clarkson from Dynamic Communication. We build more confident, more competent, more credible communicators. Basically, we are a training company that trains people in public speaking and business presentation skills.
Yeah, brilliant. That's cool. And we're getting you to help us with our podcasting at the moment, which I'm quite looking forward to.
Thank you.
Let's start that guy with the beard. Let's go, Stephen.
Stephen doesn't have a beard.
Oh, no, I was just pulling. I was just doing Mark's hidden.
Stephen Fitzgerald, I run my own architectural practice, Stephen Fitzgerald Architecture. At the moment, we're specialising in new products and architectural development, and it's basically interested in dynamic living, sustainability, working with anybody to improve aspects of their existing houses, new houses, and aspirations. So we try to exceed clients' expectations.
It looks like you're in a different office.
We do.
Are you in a different office?
Same office. Different bar.
See a different picture.
Yeah.
New screen, you see. Excellent. Right, and Mark, last not but least.
Yeah, Mark Scown, insurance broker from Manatahi Services Limited, which is my own company and been working out on my own now since the beginning of March, which has been great. So 4 years into my insurance career after many years of being a school principal. But what I specialise in is around the personal risk and small business cover with a speciality of ensuring sustainability and affordability of premiums through a combination of levelling versus stepped structures to save people lots of money going forward over their decades to come.
Cool. And Lachlan, you're not, thank you, Mark. Lachlan, you're not walking around the streets of Wellington?
So, no, I'm not. Not this time.
Mask on. You must be back home.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah, back in the crib. The reception was rubbish last time, wasn't it? I was stuck between some tall buildings. Yeah, it was all right.
We're just introducing ourselves, so that's your turn.
That's it. I'm blowing it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so what am I? I'm a rather scruffy-looking recruiter today, actually. Need a bit of a shave, a bit of a trim
I
up.
I shaved this morning. So yes.
Would you employ that man?
No, I wouldn't. Look, I tell you what, I wouldn't employ myself. I spend all the time vetting other people, but my goodness, I certainly wouldn't employ myself. I'm just all over the place sometimes. 10 minutes ago, I pressed the button to go on the Zoom thing, and I got distracted. Bought something off Wish. I'm a recruiter, a technical recruiter. I recruit for engineers and architects and the like. I'm working a lot in the renewable energy space, and it's quite hard to do because all the projects are in places like Tuvalu, Solomon Islands, Fiji and stuff like that, and so nobody can get there. So it's kind of boring for my clients sitting in a room staring at themselves. So, but I also do a little work in the sort of high-tech construction industry as well. interesting sort of work I recruit for, and I quite enjoy it. Everyone's cleverer than me, so they say you become the sum, you become the sum of all your friends, so hopefully that I'll build my intelligence by doing this job.
Yeah, no, cool, good on you. And I invited a visitor along today, and I cannot pronounce your name, so just a quick introduction so people know who you are, mate.
Hi, this is Umakant. I hope you can hear me.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm a disability support worker.
Question on every speech.
Yeah.
Yep. He's stop playing
muted.
With it.
He's muted.
Tell us your name and whereabouts you live.
Yeah, I'm Umakant. I live in Ilam near university. I used to host tourists before the COVID lockdown. I was one of the biggest Airbnb booking.com homestay provider. I also do some other businesses, but mostly small businesses. And I also work as a disability support worker. And I started trading again after 15 years in the stock market.
Oh, right.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. Well, welcome along. So if you're not used to our format, I'll explain how that works in a second. I'll just try to do a screen for you. Make sure I get the right screen. I don't really want to show you my Xero account, even though it might prick up Jude's ears. So what we've got here is a mind map, and the mind map is basically, we're going to talk about side hustles today. So a lot of people are reinventing themselves at the moment. So I just thought that we'd talk about, perhaps last week I gave you all a challenge to come up with some side hustles, things that you could potentially do outside your business framework, to be honest, if that makes sense. So give you a couple of examples. I helped somebody set up their Google G Suite. It took a couple of hours, and I did it over Zoom. And then I thought, why can't I offer that as a service? So I put that on my website, charge a couple of $100 for it, and now people can come along, purchase it, and use my product or service. And I've been challenging Helen as she comes along, just before we do that. I just wanted to explain. So on the mind map, we've got four parts of the meeting. We've got people's experiences, people's problems with potentially creating a side hustle, some solutions that we could employ, and then at the end of the meeting we talk about the takeaways that we can get, and then we come up with topic for next week's meeting to entice you to come back. So probably Helen was going to type something in there. I don't know what it was, but let's see what she was going to put in the window. But yeah, so what about you guys? Have you got any side hustles that you're doing at the moment, or something that you've morphed into in recent times?
Male modeling. I do the before pictures.
I was going to say,
that even beats my pole dancing, Matt.
Yeah. Matt, is that with NZ Post?
That's right. Exactly right. I'm a courier pack.
Yeah.
Not surprised.
Well, I could kick it off because I'm obviously a recruiter, but when things stopped, I've always helped people with CVs and a bit of career guidance. So I really concentrated a bit on doing CVs for people, and that's been quite a bit of fun. I hate trying to format tables and stuff like that, but I'm quite good at getting a CV that works well. So that's a nice little line, and I'm going to be keeping that going actually.
CVs, cool. Now remember, there's a chat box, so if you like, you can put those comments in there. Be cool.
I did pop a little comment in there just to remind you that it's not quite the right way to spell hustles.
Oh man. Okay, so how do we spell that?
I put it through in your chat.
You just want me to?
I put it as whips.
No, you haven't.
Yeah. To your alter ego.
Oh, you want me to just open up another 18 windows?
Just to put a T instead of the last S.
Oh,
T,
yes.
Yeah, T, yeah.
Now I see it with a T and it's right. Yeah.
Like a hustler.
Like hustles is probably more appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, isn't there a magazine, like a porn magazine called Hustles?
I think that's
I would never know. I couldn't possibly comment on that.
That's called Hustler.
Oops.
Yeah, but that's an answer you always want to get wrong.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't know what is it. What did he say?
What did you say, Lachlan? Set up CVs for people.
I set up CVs for people.
Okay.
Nothing to do with
it. Yeah, one that I'm working with recently is new product development. So, you know, in architecture, we've worked a lot with sustainable buildings and using what's out there to do the most sustainable concepts and developments. But in that process, it's mean we've been looking at new products that can come into the market that will actually make it even better than what it is. So that's the development of hemp in architecture and in building and in building components. So rather than working with what you got, it's moving forward into new products.
Well, that's actually probably a really good, interesting thing, actually, because hustles are actually about recreating yourself and looking for new opportunities, isn't it? It's actually words. Who coughed on me then?
Is that hempcrete you're talking about, Stephen?
Yes, well, hemp full stop, but hempcrete is the main product, and also hemp insulation, hemp boards,
okay,
and using that as a basis. So that's where we're developing our new product range at the moment.
Nice.
That's exciting.
You know, it's not a new product. It's been done for thousands of years, you know, from the first with the Chinese, but the French used it for the redevelopment and restoration of their old buildings. So where they had plastered sort of Tudor-style buildings where you had exposed timber work, then they needed a new product to fulfill that, and they investigated hemp and have developed hemp to a new level, and they've set the new standard.
All right.
What, to replace timber in that case?
No, it's to replace the whole plastered insulation system. So you need a primary structure, but hempcrete as a wall, you encapsulate the timber up with about 100 mils on either side of it. So that becomes your insulation, your wall structure, your bracing, and the product for plastering, finishing both sides. So it does a lot of things at once. So the lime covers and protects the timber and gives it longevity. So, you know, we may be able to start using untreated timbers again, get rid of the toxins and the treatments of all the timbers.
Right.
So it's got a lot of potential. So it's a very interesting process and time consuming with development and understanding it. So it's good research.
No, good stuff. Hide the male plants. That's what we talked about last time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Stephen, are you one of the first getting into hemp?
My son's developed it. So we've been involved. He was helping the construction of the first hemp building in Wanaka in the South Island. So we're leading the field with its development and use. So you're working with a lot of new consultants that are working outside of the square to develop the product.
Yeah, cool.
But hempcrete is the waste product of the hemp plant. It's the central core that they usually discard cheaply.
Yeah.
And they take off the outside of the stalk for hemp clothing, but the inside, all the fibres are used in the hempcrete.
Wow. And it's the fibre that's the magic part when you put the concrete mix with it, isn't it?
Yes, because that binds it together like a fiberglass.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it breathes, you know, it stores toxins, you know, it does a whole lot of good things outside of just, you know, the more you look into it, the better value it's got.
Does it really breathe?
Yep.
But it's like you used to put horse hair and stuff into lime plaster. Is that a bit like that?
Yeah, it is a bit like that. But outside of this, there's a huge focus in younger generations that they're looking for spaces that are meditative. So the concept of hemp's also, you know, a lot of hippies and like-minded sort of people have driven this in the past, but a lot of people are looking for places to meditate. And one of the concepts in this is that they want to remove themselves from sound and light. And the hemp has a very high absorption quality of all of that. So they're looking for spaces to be able to, for well-being, to be able to meditate in as well as live in.
Okay.
So there's an interesting movement there with the younger generation.
Wow.
Hmm. Right.
I like Penny's idea.
Penny's idea. But tell us about your idea, Penny.
About my idea. I did a challenge about 3 weeks ago with a whole group of people overseas that are into doing retreats, setting up retreats for next year. And there can be yoga, photography, there can be just anything that you want kind of retreats. So I've kind of, there's a woman in Europe that has got some retreat leaders wanting me to get them spaces in the Maldives and Sri Lanka for next year so they can bring their students. And I'm looking at buying a villa in Sri Lanka, and I've sort of said to her, well, I'm still in the process of actually purchasing that place or looking, you know, finding that place. So it's kind of, I guess it's getting the people wanting to come before I even get the villa is actually really cool, that there is a demand going to be there once we can get out of the country. And yeah, and then it's led me to, I've actually just signed up for yoga teacher training, which starts in October, online training. So I'm not a super flexible, you know, I'm not a super flexible person, but I'm sure I've got plenty to offer.
So. I can do this quite well.
Yes.
So,
Colby, yeah. who would you do the online yoga training through? Who's the person that?
I had three places that I looked at, and I sort of, it's just funny how things came about. It's actually a woman, a girl in America, and she is best friends with my daughter goes to Majestic Church in Christchurch and does swarm hip hop dancing.
Okay.
And this woman in America is best friends with the church leader in Christchurch.
Yeah.
I didn't really realise all of that. So, she's a young woman. Yeah. She looks like she's got a good following, and I liked what she was doing. I liked what she had, the content she had in the yoga course.
Oh, nice.
It really resonated with me. Yeah. So stepping into the fear.
Good on you. You have to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else got any? So what we're talking about? We're talking about people's experiences with side hustles.
A woman must have something. He's sitting there pondering which one I was going to talk about.
Yeah. So I started trading in the stock markets when the COVID situation started. It started from March, and 23rd of March, the stock market in New Zealand collapsed almost. Many points, and I began investing via Sharesy. Sharesy is one of the cheapest broker you can buy. It's all online. It's very easy to sign up. And I registered with them, and I invested some money when the stocks were quite low. This was from the past experience trading in the Indian stock market. I was trading when I was 19 years old. I was intraday trader. It means intraday. It means you buy a stock in the morning or it's sometime in the day, and then you sell before the closing bell. So you just trade for a single day. But in the New Zealand market, the liquidity is low. So I was trading as a swing trader. Swing trader is someone who buys a stock and holds it for days, some or even can be few months. For me, it was a few weeks. And now I have started investing in the American stock market via Stake. It's an Australian broker. And also through American brokers, which are TD Ameritrade. They have a platform called Think and Swim. It's one of the biggest platforms for professional traders. And there is a platform called Tasty Treat. It's for people who do futures and options. I won't be doing futures and options, but I would be just doing intraday, but in the American markets. The problem with the American markets is they start at 1:30 a.m. New Zealand time in the winters, and in the summers, they start at 3:30 a.m. In the morning. That's the only gripe about the American markets, but they are the most mature markets, and they're also one of the cheapest markets to trade. In the sense that they don't charge you any commission, it's free to trade. The government regulatory fees are very minor, so you save a lot of money on commissions compared to New Zealand, and plus on top of that, it has a lot of liquidity, and there are lots of good American companies. There's a company called Tesla. It's doing a runner now. The last time I invested in Tesla, it's around 40-50% high.
Yeah, that's good, man. I was watching a TikTok, funny enough, this morning. I reckon Tesla's about to split.
Yes.
Yeah, and I reckon that you sell now and buy about 2 weeks in after the split, mm-hmm. something like that. But that's what they were saying.
If you were just starting to trade, would you recommend Sharesies? Like, I don't know anything about share trading, but I'm keen to get into Sharesies.
Sharesy, the only problem, there are a few problems with Sharesy. They are one of the cheapest, but nominee account is basically Sharesy has another company which acts as a nominee. You don't have your ESN number. It's basically a stockbroker will assign you an individual number. The shares are not assigned to you in Sharesy. So that's the issue. And the other thing is there are around 60 to 70 stocks which are fairly liquid and you don't have any other options. And the liquidity is very low. Liquidity means that when you sell a stock, there are less buyers. When you try to buy a stock, there are less sellers in the New Zealand market. Mm-hmm. And I also found and I feel one of the other issues with Sharesies is they generally try to trade the stocks internally. It means when you try to sell a stock, they will try to route the order among their own customers, which makes selling very hard, and you will not get a right price for your stock.
Okay.
But it's would you not go straight to the American market? Sorry.
Yeah, it's not a bad platform if you're investing for a long term.
Mm.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to start with a couple of $1,000, would you just go straight for the American market then?
Yes. If you are planning to invest quite a significant sum of money, and if you are ready to learn a little bit, and you don't mind waking up in the middle of the night for trading the stock, American market is the one for you.
Mm. Way to go. I'm just going to flick onto a different screen because just recently I got $5,000 and chucked it into
Generate Wealth.
A thing called Generate Wealth. And I put $5,000 in there and it went down over lockdown to, I think, 4.4. And now it's gone back up to 5,000. Basically got $270 out of it. But what they do is they, obviously it's a shared fund and it's got all the American companies, ironically, and they're the ones that are updating. But every day you can log in there and it will tell you how you're doing. And it's quite good, really. But that was just having money. When I read up about it, it said there was practically about 17% interest per year if they play it right. But I didn't really know what to do with some money, you see. So I thought I'll just chuck $5,000 in there. And also there was Harmony. I don't know if anyone's tried Harmony.
Okay. But aren't they just money lending schemes?
Yeah.
No, Harmony is a peer-to-peer lending scheme. Yes. Yeah. It can be a bit risky because you're lending to maybe unsecure debtors or something.
Sorry,
Mark. Carry on, mate. Penny had to go because her daughter was about to vomit. I'm glad that wasn't on screen. So Lockie.
I say Mark wanted to say something. He's just waving goodbye to something. Just thinking about if you wanted to learn the process, you know, if you want to go for the American market. You know, if I had a couple of grand or $3,000 or something, want to do it, is it worth going for the American market and then just having a little fund you potter away with from there on? Or would you want to start here with that small sum?
It depends. If you don't mind waking up in the middle of the night, American market.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah. No, okay. If I don't like waking up in the middle of the night, because I wake up in the middle of the night anyway and it really annoys me. So I'm trying to get out of that habit. What's the Australian market like?
I have not traded the Australian market. I believe it's better than NZX, but I have no experience with AXX.
Okay, all right.
Man, good stuff.
Interesting though. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I reckon. Right, anyone else? Scott? So we're talking about people's experiences with side hustles, and I did challenge everyone to come up with something they could buy and sell and maybe put on their website between $100 or $500 each. Did anyone ever think of something that they could chop up? Like, I'm talking about an item you go into the supermarket and you buy and walk out with. So is this, like, obviously the CVs, I was thinking of Lachlan, he said that do you have a dollar value for those?
Yeah, look, I don't go for the cheap market. I mean, you can go to someone who does admin and do one for $25, but I start at $150 and go to about $500 for a CV. But and people say, my goodness, that's a lot of money. And I say, well, if you get a job 2 months earlier, tell me how much is that that's worth to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is like that, because I tell you what, the real shame about as a recruiter is the number of CVs I get. I'm thinking, do you know what? I bet you're getting no interviews whatsoever. And quite a few, I rang one up yesterday and I said, look, I'm just going to give you a couple of free tips here, because it just breaks my heart. People working away, and I think, I'm not going to pay. I'll do it myself. And they don't think, you know, if it saved you one day, if you got a job one day earlier, which it would 10 times over that, you'd cover any lot for many people. They cover all that cost.
It's that old adage, isn't it? That's the CV will get you the interview. The interview will get you the job.
Absolutely.
But that's you're right, not getting into the interviews.
It's a calling card, you know. It doesn't. I mean, I've had CVs that are 67 pages long. People try and put everything on there, and the reason they do that is actually because they are scared of getting someone saying no. So they think, if I tell them all the information, you don't want that. You want a CV that says, "Hey, this person's worth talking to. Let's get them in and have a chat." That's all you want.
Yeah.
You don't want them to make a decision. You want them to get you in for a chat, and it's really important.
The other day I received a CV, which I don't have the position of employment for that person, but the CV was so well done, I engaged with that person to say, sorry, look, I don't have the situation, but I engage with them. So you know, even if I didn't have the job position, it still made me engage with them. So it was a very successful CV, because even that engagement, I've spoken to other architectural companies and indicated that this person's out there.
Exactly right. You know, and people forget that sometimes. And for me, I see a good, well-written CV that actually gets the key points across. And I have that person in my mind. And if I do meet someone, I'll say, hey, look, not someone I can place but for my roles, but this could be of interest to you. But, you know, very, very few people ring you up and say, by the way, I'm not going to take you further because your CV is too hard to understand. You know, silly things like typos are a big thing, but most people put the wrong stuff at the beginning of a CV. You look at a CV, you want to see at the beginning, who was this person, what did they do? Most people want to cast a really big net. You know, I want to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I love this, I love that, and I love this. And I'm thinking, what do they do? What pain can they take away from my business? You know, and you look, you might get on the second page, oh, I'm an accountant. Wow, okay, so, and what do you good at? And you third page, and you got no clues. It's something I feel passionate about.
The really effective CVs too, it's clear in the content that they have researched your company as well.
Yep.
And I've also clearly looked at the jobs specs and targeted those.
Yep, that's exactly right. But also sometimes just framing themselves at the beginning. Now, I can tell you easily, one of the most important things on your CV is just those first few words on the top of the profile, which says, this is what I am, you know, intermediate project manager with 4 years experience working in retail projects. Great. Okay. Then I'm going to read further. It's kind of critical, but it's interesting. Yeah. It's really lovely when also people done a bit of research.
Well, I'm just going back to a couple of others. What's a house hubby? Was it
husbandry.
Husbandry.
Yeah.
Looking after a house, I'm guessing.
Yeah. It's like Matt.
Looking after the house. Yeah.
Where's Matt going?
It's like being a home tradie, isn't it?
Yeah. Matt has gone, so he must have gone to clean the toilet.
Yeah, because there's lots of, for instance, there's lots of widows or lots of guys even for that matter who aren't any good at doing household type things like putting up pictures or, you know, putting up shelves, that sort of thing. So, doing lawns, doing garden, whatever.
Yeah.
I was reading house husbandry as cooking and washing, doing nappies, doing not so much the mechanical boys side of it, but it was taking over a woman's role to allow them to get into the industry. That's what I was reading that
as. Okay,
So we're seeing James, Matt wasn't there just now. What's your take on house husbandry?
Well, I think it's quite a personal one to me in a way. So as you may know, I work with my wife, and so she's the accountant bookkeeper, and I do the business consultancy, project management, and all that sort of stuff. So what it actually means is we have different dynamics over our client base. So Billy gets, she's very much brings in our bread and butter, if you like, and steady income, whereas I come in a bit feast and famine, but I'm at a different price point. So what it means is in the downturns or challenges, I can take on running the household, if you like, and doing some of the other chores while she's earning the bread and butter. And then and then that sort of goes around. So just, I guess it's making the best out of your partnership. So we actually have a partnership, which is also a marriage, but it's kind of playing within your team and changing the roles and duties you do to make sure the overall the team is going the right way, I think.
So you get paid for it?
Pun?
Do you get, this is a side hustle conversation. I'm just wondering if you get paid for
it. Oh, I do, because I free her up to do more of her stuff. Mm. So ultimately, fine. The household gains.
Well, that's another conversation itself, isn't it? Because there is another way. Because what I was thinking of that is a service that you could charge a third party, but instead of that, you could actually free up somebody else's time that is earning the money.
Yep.
Yep.
I've got one.
We've just got David here. He said business babysitting. And that's a novel approach.
Yeah, you know, I just think there's lots of people out there that own small businesses and what have you, don't get a holiday. And, you know, maybe you could just say to yourself, hey, you know, I'll put myself out there as that sort of person. You know, I've got an accounting background. I was a CA for 3 decades. I've had a lot of business experience in retailing. That's in DIY and the whiteware industry. And in the oil industry. So, you know, I've got a whole lot of skills that, you know, even if somebody wanted me to look after their one-man service station, I could go there and pump the gas and give a little bit of advice here and there and might just keep the business ticking over while I had a holiday or a break for a week, you know.
That's actually a really good idea. There's a lot of people that don't take a holiday because they feel there's no one that can look after their business like them. So
some professions have got it down to fine art, like locums, you know, for pharmacies and things doctors. Like that. And that's been a well-established, successful practice.
I was actually thinking of the hotel industry. Actually, they have hotel minders, and there's people that just continuously move around, and they've got bookings and the like. Don't know if it's relevant, but last night I was up quite late and I finished off my booking system on dehec.com. But within there, I've actually come up with modules where people can actually book 30 minutes or 60 minutes of my time. And then when they go in here, so if somebody wants, so if that was a service I had to sell, then I can have the availability and people can book at 11. And then they come along here and when they manage the event, it takes them straight into my billing system, and that's sort of what I was thinking of. So now they can go and pay for that service and the like, and I thought, so that was quite a cool thing. So every single thing I can think of now, I'm going to put it into my services, and you can go down to here and you can see all the different services that I have that people can purchase on the fly. I don't know that's so I was just the conversation we had last week, I was sort of thinking it'd be quite cool if people could potentially put something that is buyer, you know, that they can purchase, would be really cool. I've just lost the screen of all the people. Are they still there?
Yeah, hey Danny, just one point, you know, you said, you know, a side hustle to add to your to your web page or what have you. I just wonder on that though, if you do that, are you likely to degrade your brand or the value of the services that you're offering if people see that you're offering something else? Just that's a question I'm asking.
Yeah, I sometimes think of that too, David. Like if you have all these services and are you, you're not a master in anything, but you are a, what do they call it?
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. Yeah.
The ultimate is, for me, it's not so bad because most of mine is related around my skills anyway. And I'll just give you another example because I've been with Helen with her stuff, if I can figure out how to do this screen sharing stuff. What did I do? Lost it. I've lost the screen I wanted. I've got too many screens in my life. Too many screens in my life. Maybe it's gone. What do I do with it? Down the bottom. 1 minute, please, caller. Share screen. So using Helen as an example. So what we did this week is Helen is a photographer. And within here, we've basically put her, you know, a few pictures about her stuff. And here we've talked about the different types of photography she's done. So if we go into the service she offers as a lifestyle photographer, then she's chopped that into a service where people can come along and pick, you know, a bronze, silver and gold package. And that's something that somebody can purchase. So it's creating, rather than Helen hoping that somebody's going to come along and ask for a quote, she's actually made a product or a service that somebody can purchase on the fly. And at the end of it, we grab all those products and services, put them together, and create a page on her service, which is generally photography. And then people can read through it. And at the end of it, it says, this is just an indication of my costings online. If you want custom requirements, please contact me. But in the meantime, we've now got something that people sort of get an idea of her pricing. They may not have contacted her previously because they thought she's too expensive, or they didn't know how professional she was, but now that from $250 they can get some form of her service. That's sort of my thinking on that logic.
That's really successful because a lot of people have a fear of engagement because they're not sure what the cost's going to be.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a little bit like you're talking about CVs. You don't get the interaction because of the fear of the unknown of what the expense might be. So. Yeah. By putting it out there, someone can go, look, that meets my budget or it doesn't. Or if there's a range there, I can talk about the lower end of the range or the upper end of the range. Yeah. And it actually it deals with that fear and it actually allows people to go forward, which is
We were talking about some of my services and I said it's really hard to put a price on some of them. And Danny said, just put a price, and even if it's a starting price, and then it gives people an idea of where they can start at and what I can offer. So I think it's going to be really beneficial.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I know one of my biggest challenges with any sort of IT design sort of stuff is that generally I say, look, I want to give an idea of what the costs are. And they'll say, well, what's your budget?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, I've got $127,000. Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Yeah, and you hear the champagne corks popping as you walk out the door. You know? and it's like, I mean, who would go to a restaurant they didn't been to before where they didn't have any prices around the place? Who would sit down at that place and say, okay, I'll have this?
Yeah.
No one would do it.
Yeah, and a lot of photographers do hide their prices. Funny, we were talking about the same thing, Stephen, like what you said is, when you look at houses to buy, and all these houses that have negotiation or auction, if you're in the ballpark of what you could afford for it. And we both said we wouldn't even look at those houses because you have no idea of where to start.
We have a trouble in the industry at the moment, in the architectural profession, because there's a lot of people buying and they're younger people with money that are using the lower interest rates. Because you approach an architectural company and you don't know what the cost is going to be, the banks don't want to lend on an unknown cost. So they end up promoting the subdivision house builder that can give all the prices, the design, the price, the dates for completion and everything else. So the banks are happy to lend on that because it's known costs. You know, we struggle even with a range of costs in our industry, and I think we have to change that.
I absolutely agree on that.
What you had there for Helen is, you know, silver, bronze, gold, you know, if you can put into different categories and saying, well, you know, look, your housing, the house that you're looking at is, you know, for spec, for long-term development, for, you know, and if we can set up a cost range and or a specifics or add-ons to that, add-ons at a cost, I think we would pick up more of the work.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I think, Stephen, you've just highlighted the problem and equally highlighted the solution.
Mm. Oh, somebody write that in the text would be good.
Certainly, I have to say, in terms of things like architecture, it is a Western problem, because the whole point you go to an architecture for is for a custom job.
Yeah.
But the best solution I've seen is when I've been looking at things like kitchens and bathrooms, people say, okay, I understand you want me to do. I'll give you an idea. Here's three jobs we did. This one here cost $12,000. We had a 20% contingency, and we ended up using half of that. And the half of that went on there. Okay, right, great. Okay, this one, here's this one, and that one, and that one. And you think, okay, now I've got an idea.
You're putting to bed the fears of unknown costs.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've worked for architects. I know how to go. It allows
the conversation to go forward on other aspects of your services.
Yeah.
Yep. No, good stuff. Yeah. And I really like that. I've always have, like, let's pick on each other's industry. Like, if I said to Matt, I want to have a meeting with him, I'd probably be thinking, is it going to cost me? Is he going to send me a bill? And the same with anyone, right? Like, you probably, just going back to Lachlan, if I wanted to have a meeting with you because I'm looking for a job, then I would assume it was free because the employer's going to pay. But then how do you stop everyone wanting to sit down with you and chew up your whole day of sitting here saying you work for free?
Well, you've just nailed one of my biggest challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to say it's quite funny because I do career counselling and I get people say, oh, hey, Lachlan, I haven't seen you for a while. How about we go out for a coffee? So I could give you an hour of free career thing. You buy me a coffee. That's a really, really cheap hour.
Yeah, $4.50.
$4.50. And of course, what happens is you chat for so long, then I end up buying them a coffee. So I don't even get a coffee out of it.
I tell you, that thing I had on the screen before, I use Calendly, and I'm actually really liking it. I pay $15 a month for it.
Yeah.
But now when people want to use my time, I go please book a free consultation for 15 minutes or book some of my time. And if they don't,
like that.
They don't want to spend the time doing that, then they don't value my time.
But also just people forget. I mean, I've been told, even clients who say, oh, look, I need to pick your brains on a couple of things. And I say, this is the only way I make money.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This is my income. So, you know, if I went along to your store and said, hey, look, can I, you know, your timber store, and I said, can I have, you know, 8 lengths of 4x2 or 100x50, and I want that and that and that. And that's great. Oh, thanks very much. I've got to walk out the door because that's how you make your money.
Yeah.
Oh, but I only want a foot of it.
And hey, look, just while you're there. I'll get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah. It's funny because some industries you would never say, can I have 5 minutes of your time? You wouldn't go to your doctor and say, can I have 5 minutes? They charge you $50 no matter what, you know.
Get a tax lawyer.
So, yeah, why can they charge and we can't, you know?
It's part of the expectations, really.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm in a subtly different industry where I get paid by a third party, i.e. the insurance company. So, you know, I've got a client now who I may or may not get, but I've spent about 25 hours with that client. Mm. And so, you know, on a cost-to-benefit ratio, that's appalling. But on some of my best clients that are, you know, huge commission rates, I could probably, when I calculate it out, my hourly rate for some of them would be $850 an hour. Swings and roundabouts.
That's really good stuff, guys. So what's some solutions then with, we've actually talking about how to get people to pay for our time, and that it's cost for acquisition, really, we just talked about, really, isn't it? So what's some solutions if we are doing side hustles that we can think of?
Set up Calendly.
Oh, yep, set up Calendly. That's cool. And I'll help you with that service, by the way. It's one of my side hustles.
Isn't it Calendly?
Sorry?
Isn't it Calendly?
I'm not sure.
On spelling.
I'll actually put it up there so you can get it right.
Calendly? Yeah. Oh, it is Calendly. Yeah.
I'll get it.
Yeah.
Just so you see that, I want to, that there is my one. But I rate it's quite good. I think it's one thing, a problem I did have with it, you can actually, when you pay for it, you can actually collect money, but it's only in Australian dollars. It's the closest currency you can get, which is a bit of a pain. And I know Matt does his appointments using Office 365, and it's a similar system. But I come up with a way last night where if somebody does book the service, I can take it off to an external link. So then I just copy the link that goes straight into the shopping cart, the shopping cart program I use. So I get the appointment going straight into my diary, and at the same time it forces them to go to the place where they have to pay me money.
In terms of the solutions, I do think it's important to have something that is along the same lines of who you are and what you, and is complementary to what you do. I mean, I know, for example, Steve and I know architects who design lampshades. One guy in Wellington designs lampshades and has a quite a good product line and doing light special light fittings. And it kind of fits with his business.
Yes, I've got landscape architects that design pavers and pots and things, and they specify their own product. And they probably make more money out of the products they specify than the landscape architectural company that they run.
Yeah, exactly right. There's a lot of sense in it, but they're complementary, and it goes the other way. Combining the landscape architecture with the paving, you can step in and help them do designs, and it works out quite well. But having something which is completely different, for example, if I want to be a DJ, I mean, I've got the headset, but I mean, you know, if I was going to have a DJ business, it's not complementary to what I do.
So you don't think Matt should put on his, over the page of his website, House Hubby, as a service he's offering now? No.
He might want to fence that off.
I've got a woman ringing you up.
That's right.
I think being nagged at least twice a year is plenty enough.
Yeah.
So I'm probably, I listened to that 100 side hustles that you gave us, Lachlan.
Yep.
That is brilliant, actually, because a lot of those, I think I've tried 50% of them.
Yeah.
That is such a good book. We listened to it.
In fact, I'll lend you the actual book because it's a beautiful book. It's just got lots of really beautifully put together.
Yeah.
Nice case studies.
Yeah.
I like the way he summarized each one of those.
Because
a lot of the side hustles, it is about what you know, not who you know.
He puts the pain in there as well, what you needed to do to get started. So if anyone wants to borrow this book, they can. It's a quality sort of item.
And some of them are quite out there, like the one about the chickens, and they had little coats or something.
That's out. Right. That's bizarre, but it's just amazing. Amazing. Yeah, a lot of fun.
And the side hustle often is like anything from $500 to maybe $5,000 a month if you're lucky.
Yeah.
It wasn't a full-time job. It's what I always found hard is turning a side hustle into a full-time job. It's not, they haven't really done that.
But that's why it's called a side hustle.
Yeah, people are mistaken it, because I've seen people who have businesses who are trying to make their hustle a business, and you go, well, this is just a little, this isn't really got it's just a little bit of extra few bucks coming in a month.
Yeah. It's a little bit like the damage of turning a hobby into your employment.
Yeah.
You're doing your hobby for pleasure and you end up doing it for a necessity to actually provide an income. So if you're painting and painting things that you want to paint, you end up painting on commission things you don't want to paint. So, you've got to be careful on how you do that too, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm. While you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff, guys. Solutions then. We're looking for solutions of hustle. So you reckon a good idea is to keep it within your own environment if you can?
Side hustle that complements what you do.
Well, I think it's complementary, I think it's important to think about. I also think you've got to think of the problem you're trying to solve. Why are you doing the side hustle? And it could be like Matt, he says I have big spikes of income, but I've got to earn something and engage myself in the rest of the time.
I got a funny thing that I find quite tricky. I said to Helen, I said, I love Helen, but I said that we probably never get married, But I said I wouldn't mind buying you a ring or some sort of jewelry, And I'm thinking every time I walk past a jeweler shop, I don't actually want to walk in because I just don't like walking up to those ladies because it's all in your face and they run up to you and they go, oh, that's nice. And you finish up, you just get a flurry of people around you and you feel that pushy sales. So I just always avoid it. So yesterday we went half with a vacuum cleaner. I got half a vacuum cleaner.
There's romance right there.
Yeah,
who said romance was dead, eh?
That sucks.
Why, Helen?
Helen, you won't marry your eye, Will.
How many settings did it have?
So how would that...
Did it have a pet hair thing?
And I asked if we had pets. We've got this hair here that actually...
My hair that comes out. Yeah.
I'm thinking there's an industry that is hopeless that I can't walk into because I just don't want to walk up to that counter. Yeah. And I'm thinking, how would they turn that around?
You do it online.
Well, you could do it online, but then online you're worried about the quality, aren't you? So there's different barriers every time. So she's never going to get a ring. How would you overcome that?
Well, you'd have a digital system whereby you say, here's my hand, Well, here's Helen's hand, and you just go along, scroll through, and it just puts the ring on your hand, and you see what it looks like, and it gives you three or four different views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about each of our own industries in the window. I mean, like, if I wanted, we're like a holiday home at the moment, and we're thinking that we'd engage Stephen. He's very approachable, but we don't want to waste his time, but we do want to know that we can ask him for ideas and maybe pick his brains a little bit to see whether our thinking is feasible. You know, so that being able to do acquisitions with Stephen, he's very open. But I'm wondering about other people who are too scared to ring up an architect, because when I was a painter, architects were like God, and I didn't feel like I could walk up to them and go, "G'day, mate, do you want to go out to the pub for a beer?" Mm. So you never, and the same with lawyers, they're not very hard to walk up to and say blah. You know, so I'm just wondering, are we all approachable? Are our clients... have we made a door open for our clients? Like my free consultation, 15-minute consultation. I know Matt does one similar, and that I put free on it yesterday for the first time. But I hate the word free, but it's a 15-minute consultation, so it can be free.
Well, you don't use the word free; you say complimentary. Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't read right.
Complimentary. I think free and 15 minutes balance out. You know, it's 15 minutes and it's free. So you was basically say, let's just see if we're on the right track. I think there's nothing wrong with that, really. You know, it's not as if you're saying I'm going to be free for whatever. Yeah. Just think about Stephen. I keep on thinking of Stephen. We're talking like a couple of weeks back all about how about sort of the idea of charging for a consultancy, which is one of the challenges. But and you talk about approachability, but I do think video would be quite a good tool. Because I can imagine Stephen saying, look, I've had a client who came along to see to me, and they bought my $250 package, and what they wanted to know was this. And so I went through these five stages, and this is what we came up with. So that's hit me on their path, you know? And they've got there, what they're doing is now putting their budget together now, you know, something like that. And these people came up with this comment. And now people think, oh, hang on, I can call this guy, and I can book him for a $250 package, and I can ask him these questions. It'd be great on video, Stephen, you're born for it.
Don't like about the word free, it's something for nothing, and it's not about the value that you're giving somebody, and I would rather sell the value of the 15 minutes rather than the non-value of the 15 minutes.
You could say free, complimentary consultation worth blah, 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 you know, so you put a figure in there so people realise they're getting this 15 minutes. It is normally, I don't know, $100 or whatever. So they do see the value in it. Otherwise, there's no value in it.
How about this one? Helen's got a sports shoot, and it's around about $700. And then somebody rang up the other day, and they said, can I hire you? I'll invoice my client, and then can I get a sort of a backhander? And at that time, Helen had her $700 package, and she had 10% off. Or $100 off. So we removed that, and then we decided that we'd give that client a coupon where he could actually get 20% of her advertised prices. And that was a kind of a nicer way of doing it. So you do all the billing, the client goes to Helen's website, can see the package that he's going to sell them, but at the end of the day, he's going to collect the money, and then when he go and purchase it, he's going to use the coupon, and that's where he saves the money. And I thought that was another way of getting the cat without, because the first thing a client's going to do, who's the lady who's going to come and take my photos? I'm paying $700. He's charging me $900. And that was the problem, you see.
One thing that I've been doing recently, I've been not doing it free, but I've been handing out vouchers, which allows that consultation period for an hour. So basically what I'm doing is offering to clients vouchers to say, thank you for your involvement with our company over the years. Here's five different vouchers that you can offer to friends, which will give them a 1.5-hour consultation. And so the voucher has value. It's not free, and they can offer that. So they're giving value to their friends or colleagues to help them move forward with their design consultations or otherwise, whether it's tiny house, energy efficient house, alteration, earthquake development. So I'm trying to turn that into a voucher as opposed to a free service. And so then people can hand them on and they feel that they're giving something of value to their friends.
Yep.
and I'm just going to see how that goes, and I need to monitor the reaction of that.
Stick the vouchers on top of a bottle of wine and see who takes them. Yeah. Hey, we're running out of time, sorry. Let's just quickly, takeaways for today. If you just want to verbalise them, I'll get my secretary here to write them down. Anything you got from today's meeting that you'd like to share?
Side hustles have value.
Yep.
I like the idea of the Calendly and raising people's expectations of paying for consultancy.
Yep.
I think side hustle has to be related or complementary to existing business. Otherwise, it could become a distraction or erode actually your core business if you're not careful.
Like, how can you charge $120 or $150 an hour and then be a home hubby at $30 an hour and you're the same person?
Yeah, and it's just a time, like, if you're investing in, you know, you're having to learn new skills, getting new software, maybe, depending what it is. You don't want to go down that rabbit hole and then realise that your core business has been neglected as a consequence. So it has, in my view, it's something which augments, builds upon, everything. Yeah. Then that's cool. If it's complementary, if it's really easy, of course, that's okay. But you need to be focused right now, I think. And if you do too many, if you act like a shotgun rather than a sniper's rifle, then it can be a challenge. It's got to change up managing your risks, having enough spread versus building your brand in what you're good at.
I do think that the workflow has to be complementary as well. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in my job, in recruitment, it's like running five races at a time, you know, and I've said this before, and if you stop, you sort of lose all five races. So there's no use having another one that's like a race. So the good thing about CV is I can see when it gets in touch, okay, I'll book you in for Thursday, next Thursday at 10 o'clock, and it'll wait, it sort of waits. It's not too bad. In terms of also the income, it's a scalable business. I can get people help me for the writing stuff and what for various parts of it, which is quite nice. So it has a certain amount of automation that can go about as well.
Yeah, cool. Next week's topic, guys.
Silence. Next week's cool.
The other thing too, I've seen off of Elite Six, I haven't done our intros for a while. I've had a couple of people who suggested that they'd like a 7:30 meeting in the morning. So I'm going to send out on our closed Facebook group what day they would like that, if so, and then I'm going to ask who would be there regularly. So if 7:30 is a good time, then we might run a 7:30 meeting, just putting it out there with the people in the window at the moment. And the other one too... I think outside the square, you've got that there. Yeah. The other one too, if you look at the link that I posted, then you'll see that I've posted this podcast in Elite Six's blog area, and you'll see that all the text is scribed, and I'm using a service called Otter, and it's brilliant. And I think a few people signed up for it. I'm trying to find it. Whoops. And I'll send the link on it. But it basically gets the text and turns it all into... or it scribes it all for me, and then I realise it listens to the voice of the person talking, and then it matches their name to who spoke at what time. And it was really clever stuff. Mm. And it took about 25 minutes for it to scribe an hour's worth of talking. So I'll do that with this one afterwards.
How did it know us?
It listens to the voice.
Yeah, but how does it? Oh, because it sees our name.
Yeah, it's modern technology, honey. Yeah.
But also, when you,
sorry,
it can be entertaining. Options though sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really clever stuff. But if you look at that blog, you'll see what I've done with it. And it's given me instant content, and also it's matching the who's talking to whose names. I've got a few people away today as well. I don't know why. But it's nice to we'll figure that out. But you'll see the names that come up and the times that they spoke. So, next week's meeting, what are we going to talk about?
What about putting the fun in things?
Yeah. Fun. How about jokes? Dad jokes.
Dad jokes, no.
No. I've got some good dad jokes.
I find if people say, if anyone got a good joke, all the jokes just disappear out of my head.
All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop
David
this.
David had his hand up.
David?
Yeah, David. Where's he
gone? No, I was just saying goodbye to Matt.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Okay, so I'll finish the podcast as we speak, not podcast, what we call it. I will stop the recording And if you are listening to our podcast, by all means, go to elite6.co.nz and check out our other podcasts and other topics. We haven't got a next week topic yet, but I will come up with that in due course. I may surprise you, may do some research, and we may create a new start. So thanks for tuning in, and thanks for listening to us.